Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe. Achri Moshe Shnei Bnei Aharon. After the two sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, were nifter, the karvosam ufnei Hashem vayamusi. They came close before Hashem and they were nifter. So those that ask the question, why does the pasuk repeat itself afterwards vayamusi? Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe. Achri Moshe Shnei Bnei Aharon. So we know that they were nifter. So why does it say the kavos of Hashem by Yamusim, and they were lifted? Why the repetition? So the Mefarshim answer that the kavos of Hashem by Yamusim was telling us the reason why they were lifted, because they came close before Hashem. That is why they were lifted. And what does that mean? So there's various interpretations. The Sefer Hadrash v'Ha'iyun, Rabbi Aaron Levine, the Raisha Rav. He says there's a Zohar HaKadosh that says that Nadav and Avihu at the time that they were Avram, whatever Avera they did, they were less than 20 years old. They were not yet Bnei Einshim. So that's the case. Shelsev the Kasha, if they're not Bnei Einshim, so why were they Nifter? Why did they deserve this Einish? The Teres is because they were greater than a regular Ben Chof. They were on a much higher Madrega. And therefore they should have known better. So they were considered, they were held responsible as if they already would have been Bnei Chav. So the Rosh V'Ho'iyin Taich says, that's right, V'Kurvosam U'Pnei Hashem V'Yamusu. Because they were so close to Hashem, because they were on such a high madrega, Memela, they were nifter because they should have known better. That's the way the Sefer Hadrash V'Ho'iyin Taich says. The Teferet Shloime, Shloime Redonsk, he taiches in a different way. It's well known that the Geula from Mitzrayim came before its time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Es HaKeitz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a cheshbon of the end. And we were supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years, and he subtracted 190 years. Why is that? Because he saw that the Bnei Yisrael, they were suffering terribly, and he was afraid that perhaps we would sink into the Shar HaNun of Tumah, and maybe he took us out before our time. And this is the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to accept the shlichus of taking out the Bnei Yisrael to begin with. Because Moshe Rabbeinu understood that it was going to be a partial geula, there's going to be less kiddush and shemayim, the avodah of the Bnei Yisrael is not going to be as great. So for the sake of Hashem, he did not want to take him out before their time. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a tie on Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more concerned about the tzar of the Bnei Yisrael than he is for his own covenant. And even if the complete covenant Shemayim would not come out, but he was more concerned about the covenant of the Bnei Yisrael, and Hashem had a time on Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, if you're going to be a leader of Klal Yisrael, you have to look for the good of Klal Yisrael. And you have to, adarava, you have to look for their welfare. And the Medrash tells us that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu did not get the Kuhuna Gedayla was because he refused this Shlichus L'chadchila. Because if he would have accepted the Shlichus, and he wouldn't have looked at the covenant Shemayim over the covenant of the Bnei Yisrael, then he would have gotten the Kuhuna Gedayla, because a Kohen Gadol has to look for the Tayelos of the Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos that when Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, he saw, he saw some sort of a form of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yishmol, thank you. Yishmol b'ni barchein, give me a bracha. So what bracha did he give? Yishmol Kohen Gadol said, Yirosan sheyichbu shirachamechos kasva. May your rachmanas overcome your kas against the Bnei Yisrael. The bracha he gave Hashem is for the Tayelis of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Nana loy b'roisha. He saw that there was a haskama from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the primary concern of the Kohen Gadol, one of the main leaders of Klal Yisrael, is he has to look out for the Tayelis of the Bnei Yisrael. And this is why when he came out of the Kodesh HaKadosh from Yom Kippur, he said in Tefillah Ktzorah, what was the Tefillah Ktzorah? Well, Gashmi is the Kinyan. You know, for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. So that's the pshat. And that was, there was a Kainan on Moshe Rabbeinu. Nadav and Avihu, they were b'korvosim of Hashem. They came very close to Hashem, but in the process, they lost that perspective of having to look out for Klal Yisrael. Sometimes, when you come so close to Hashem and you're only concerned with Hashem, you forget about the perspective of Bnei Adam L'chaver. They didn't get married to women. They didn't want to have regular families. Why? In their closeness to Hashem. If a person loses the perspective of Klal Yisrael, when he becomes so close to Hashem, he's not fit to be the Kohen Gadol, and the Mabel, they have to be removed. Because they were going to be the natural successors to Aaron. And if they are not able to, because of their over-curve of Hashem, the Mabel, that is why they were by Yamusu. As they learned at the Parish Lema, and that's why the Torah repeats, Bikurvasa Mufne Hashem. They got so close to Hashem that they were no longer able to see Klal Yisrael's perspective of things. And the Tayelos of Klal Yisrael, the Mele by Yamusu, that is why they were Nifter. Sever and Isa. Sever and Isa, with the chosid of the Sar Shalom of Bells. Big Oyvid Hashem. Big Masmid. Big Mispalel. And he asked the Sar Shalom, he wants to be Zaycha to Gili Eliyahu. Sar Shalom told him, close yourself off for 40 nights in a row. The Isaac in learning, his Baidid, his contemplation, he'll be Zaycha to Gili Eliyahu. So he closed himself off in a room, Isaac. Haycha and Yonim, very much involved, deep thought, concentration, Ruchnius. And week by week went by, day by day. On the 40th night, there's a knock at his door. He needs some help. He says, I'm sorry, I can't help you now. I'm being disboyed. I'm sorry. So he left. And night went by. Another couple of days went by. No Elio or no. So he came to the Sar Sholem of Bells, and he told him, and I did what the Rebbe said I should do, and I was Amish, Isaac, and I'm afraid that. And no Elio or no. Rebbe asks him, tell me, nobody came to you in the middle of the night? So he said, yeah, the Grabi, it was an Ani that came to me, but I told him that I was busy, you know, I had to be misvaded. So he says, first of all, you should know that that was Eliyahu Anavi. That's number one. Number two, what kind of a Gili Eliyahu is it if it's on the cheshbon of another Yid? Because if you want to be Isaac and you're Egin Avoyde, that's one thing. Your relationship with Hashem. But if your relationship with Hashem comes on the back of another Yid that you want to ignore an Ani, what kind of a Dveikus is that? What kind of a Gili Eliyahu is that? So that's the Pshat over here, Bekarvosim Lefnei Hashem LeYamusu, that in their Kurva to Hashem, they were not able to see the regular Bein Odom L'Chaveri, that they had to have a perspective of understanding the needs of Klal Yisrael, Memele LeYamusu. The Avodah, one of the Avodahs of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, is that he has to take lots for the Goyrel Echad Hashem, the Goyrel Echad Azazel. So I saw it's brought down from the Sefer Heichel Abroche, from the Kamarner Rebbe, what's the Goyrel Echad Hashem and Goyrel Echad Azazel? It's Kabbalah B'Yodeinu, that whatever there is on the side of Kiddusha, can measure that on the scale, there's Trumah to balance it out. If it wouldn't be Zelu Umazel, then there wouldn't be a Kayach HaBechir anymore. We would be totally on the side of the Kiddusha. There'd be nothing to challenge us on the other side. So the Goyer Lechad Hashem and the Goyer Lechad Azazel, it represents that balance. We give something to the Tzad HaKiddusha, and the Azazel is sort of feeding the Tzad HaTumah, whatever that means, but the Swarm Tak can bring down to the Zamin in it. That's the Zelu Umazel. We know that Rivka Imenu, she told Yaakov Avinu to run away. She told him, Loma Eshkal Shneichem B'yoynechad, why should I lose both of you in one day? And Rashi says she had a Kabbalah that when one of them will be nifted, the other one, the Melu will also be nifted. What's the pshat there also? Is the Kayach HaKedusha as opposed to the Kayach HaTumah? One can't leave without the other, or else there'll be an imbalance in the world. Is the Zelu Umazeh. So Zokta Heichel Avroche, the word Azazel is the letters Rosh Hatevis Zelu Umazeh Osa Elikim. That's mamish the letters of Azazel. Kineged the Tzad HaKedusha, kineged that is the Tzad HaTumah to balance it out. This idea we'll speak about a little bit in a couple of minutes. It's negated something else in the parasha. So it says in the Avodah of Yom Kippur, V'lokach nidam hapor u'midam hasoyer. The Kohen, he shechted his own cow, the power of the Kohen Gadol, and he shechted a seir, which was a carbon for Klal Yisrael. So he takes from the blood of the power and the blood of the seir, of the goat, He mixes it together and he places it on the corner of the corners of the Mizbeach to be mechaper, to be metar of the Mizbeach. So in our Avodah, when we say the Seder Avodah on Yom Kippur, when it comes to this Avodah, it says the following lashon: Sos, he was happy, he rejoiced. V'ira dam hapor l'soich mizrak, and he emptied out the blood of the par into a keli. Shavoy dam hasoyer, in which you had the blood of the soyer. V'nosan hamoli berekon kadesh yisar v'yofet, and he mixed it back and forth. It should be well mixed, the dam hapar and the dam hasoyer. So what does it mean, sos, he rejoiced? Why by this avodah did he rejoice more than the other avodahs? So the Slonim Rebbe of Shmuel of Slonim says a beautiful pshat. We know the Mishnah in Yuma says that the Kohen Gadol, 7 days before Yom Kippurim, he was separated all by himself to prepare himself for this great day of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur arrived, and he shechted a par, even in the avodah, he shechted a par. And then he shechted a soyer. So he was isolated totally from Klal Yisrael before Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, he shechts a separate carbon for himself and a separate carbon for Klal Yisrael. See, he felt isolated from Klal Yisrael. It was like they were two separate entities. This was the first Avodah where he got to get together with Klal Yisrael. The Dam HaPar that he brought and the Dam HaSoyer, now he was mixing them together and he felt once again part of the Klal. So Sos, he was happy. He's no longer isolated from the rest of the Kehillah. Now he gets together with Klal Yisrael once again, and now the Avodahs blend one with the other. That brought about a special simcha on the part of the Kohen Gadol. The Pasuk goes on to say, "Kimasa eres Mitzrayim, asher yishavtem ba lo yisasu," like the actions of the people of Mitzrayim where you dwelled, you shouldn't do. "Ukimasa eres Canaan, asher ani nevi eschem shama," and like the actions of the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you, lo yisasu. "Uvechukaseyim lo yiseleichu," you should not go in their chukim, in their ways. First of all, the lashon of the pasuk is a little bit extra. Kemas Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Bo. I mean, they knew that they lived in Eretz Mitzrayim. Why did the Torah have to say Asher Yishavtem Bo? Ukemas Eretz Kenan Asher and maybe Eschem Shoma. They knew where they were going. The Taklis was they Asi Eschem Avoharetz Asher Nishbati. They knew where they were going. So why is it necessary for the Torah? You should have just said Kemas Eretz Mitzrayim. You shouldn't do Kemas Eretz Kenan. You shouldn't do. Why the Asher Yishavtem Bo and Asher Ani maybe Eschem? What's the purpose? Rashi brings down over here, "Kemasa eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem bo." Magid, this teaches me, "Shemaseyem shel Mitzrayim v'shel Kenanim u'kukolim mikolo umos." They were the most corrupt, the most immoral from all of the nations of the world. "V'oisei mokim sheyoshvu bo Yisrael mikuko min hakol." The place where the Yidden lived, that was the most corrupt, the most immoral place from all. That means the Yidden lived in Goshen. Goshen was the worst area to live. Most corrupt was the Kulkul. So when I first saw this Rashi, I thought it was a Pella. You know, one thinks that Goshen, the way we are Makubal to know, the Yidden settled in Goshen to be isolated from the rest of the Mitzrayim. It was a place, you know, a suburb, Huntsy, Lakewood. They wanted to live there in isolation. They practiced the Kedusha. Adarama, that's where Shevet Levi was. The Yidden that went out into the metropolis of Mitzrayim, they got stuck in the Shiva. But Shevet Levi that lived in Goshen, they remained Kodesh, they remained steadfast in the Torah. So how could Rashi say it here? Really, it's a Chazal that Rashi quotes. How could Chazal say that this was the most mekukul wicked place that there was? So I was thinking, l'chadchila, that it's like what we just said a couple of moments ago. We know that the greater the Tzad HaKedusha, the greater the Tzad HaTumah becomes Zel U'mazeh. So, like if you look in America, you know, there's been a proliferation of Torah Kedusha organizations, and mamish parallel to that, the Tumah has gotten much greater. It's Zel U'mazeh. So it could be the same thing happened in Goshen. That the Yidden l'chadchila settled in Goshen, it was taka a pure place, and it was taka isolated from the rest of Mitzrayim. But more the Kedusha they implanted there, and Yaakov Avinu implanted a lot of Kedusha there in the 17 years that he was there, and the Yidden, they were Marbe Taira, Zelu Umazeh, the Tumah got bigger until the Mamish became the most Mekuchel Dika place to balance out the Kedusha. This was my first reaction. So I taka found, there's a Pirish on Chumash called Be'er Basodeh. He says a Nifla Dika thing. He says that the Yidden originally moved to Goyishen. It was a good place, Taradika place. But the Mitzrayim, in order to be Meshabit Klal Yisrael, in order to keep them there, and to enslave them, they used Kishif, and they used Avodah Zarah, and they used all of the Kaychas HaTumah to be able to enslave the Bnei Yisrael, that they should be subjugated to them, and that they shouldn't be able to escape. So Mimele comes out, it became corrupt because of the tactics that the Mitzrayim were using against the Yidden. So Taki became the place which is most filled with Tumah, most filled with Kishim, most filled with Avodah Zarah. The minute that the Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, there was no longer a need for Goyishim to have that. When the Kananim heard that the Yidden were leaving Mitzrayim to come to Eretz Yisrael, so the Kananim started using a lot of Kishim and Avodah Zarah to prevent the Yidden from coming in. They used it as a guard against the Yidden entering, and even after they entered, they used it to be able to conquer over the Yidden, but unsuccessfully. And the Medrash says, what was Goyim that Goyishin should be a center of Tumah? Yeshivoschem. But the fact that you lived there and the Yidden wanted to subjugate you, that was the Goyim of the Tumah over there. What was the Goyim that in Canaan, that they should become a kukul from everybody? The fact that you were coming there. That is why they emphasized Avodah Zarah and Kishiv in order to be able to prevent the Yidden from coming in, and once they came in order to be able to conquer over them. So that's the pshat of the pasuk. Kamasa eres Mitzrayim asher yishavtem bo. It's the asher yishavtem bo that was the cause of Goyishin becoming such an overwhelming place of Torah. Ukamasa eres Kanaan. What was the goyim of eres Kanaan to become so filled with Torah? Asher ani maybe eschem shama. The fact that I brought you over there. That is the way the sefer Be'er Basodeh teaches the pasuk. Pasuk goes on to say, B'tzedek tishpeit amisecha. With righteousness you should judge your fellow. Rashi says that this means, have you done his chavercha lekavschus? Have you done your friend lekavschus? The Gemara says in the Sefer Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, Tanu Rabbon, Kol hadonis chaveri lekavschus, anyone that's done his friend lekavschus, Donim Yisoy Lekavskos, Min Hashamayim, they're Donim Lekavskos. So the famous question that the Mepharshim ask is, what does that mean? That Min Hashamayim, they're Donim Lekavskos. We don't know what goes on in our friend's heart. We don't know all of the actions of our friend. So if we see something and we're in Sufik, we're Mechuyev to be Donim Lekavskos. But how can you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Donim Lekavskos? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. Everything is going to be a fun. There are no questions, there are no spakes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be done us lekavschus? So Chaim Shmulevit says, they may be the Kipshat. Chaim Shmulevit says that Ein tzadik ba'oretz asher yaseh tov lo yechta. There is no tzadik that does good, and there is no that there's perfection to his actions. Even a mitzvah. Somehow or other, a mitzvah could be lacking. Maybe the kavana wasn't totally l'shem shamayim. Maybe there was an ulterior motive. Maybe there was a little bit of covet involved. Maybe there was a lack of concentration on it. There's always something you could find wrong. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to x-ray our mitzvahs and to look through and through them, he would find that there's a lot of lack of kavana and there's a lot of lack of enthusiasm. We can't be aymed b'din in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we judge our friend, and we look at his actions, and sometimes the actions seem not so totally l'shem shamayim. But if we look at the tzarat, even our friends, and we look away from the shady part of his actions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at our actions the same way. Even our mitzvahs. Our mitzvahs, they're a chalakim of the mitzvah, which are not so good. If we look away from our friends' chesroinus, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mida keneged mida, will look at the good part of our actions. Of course he knows what it is. Of course he knows through and through what our actions are. But he's not going to look in that direction. Because mida keneged mida, we look at the right direction of our friend, mida keneged mida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at the proper proper direction of our mitzvahs and not look at the chesroides of our mitzvahs. The Chafetz Chaim writes that the greatest thing a person could do for himself to be oimed b'din is to be done as chaver l'kavzchus. Because if you're done your friend l'kavzchus, you're in essence sealing your din up in Shamayim, because they're going to look at you the way you look at your friends. So Rabbi the Kemaisa, Rabbi Levine said how he was kind of the mida of being done his friend l'kavzchus. What made him be kind of that mida? He says there was a levaya of one of the chashuvim in Yerushalayim. His name is Rabbi Eliezer Rivlin. It's a friend of the brother. They were following the Aram. They were being alive in the maze. And he's walking with a friend of his, also very chashuv he is, by the name of Rav Shmuel Cook. In the middle of the levaya, they're walking, and they pass a flower store. And they're being alive in the Aram, and his friend Rav Shmuel Cook was a chashuv he is. He stops. He walks out of the procession. He stops in front of the flower store. He's looking at the flowers. He looks at them strange. In the middle of a levaya, he stopped to look at flowers. What's this all about? And he doesn't follow the procession anymore. He's looking and looking. And he goes into the store. And he comes out with a flower pot. An empty flower pot. Bobby Levine looked at it very strangely, middle of a levaya, nothing better to do, middle of a levaya for a chashuv yid, to go into a store and buy a flower pot. You know, this is the time, middle of a levaya, this is what you buy. So he asked him about it, Yerandeinu, you know, how do you go middle of a levaya and buy a flower pot? So he excused himself, and he explained to him. This yid, Rav Shmuel Cook, took care of a mitzayer, a leper in the hospital. Fellow suffered from leprosy, very contagious. And the fellow was just lifted a couple of hours before. And the doctors, they burnt everything, all of his belongings, you know, they were, you know, affected by the sickness, they burnt everything. They wanted to burn his tefillin. This Rav Shmuel Cook begged the doctors, please don't burn the tefillin. And they told him, if you can get a vessel by 12 o'clock that will be able to hold this, that could be buried, we'll be masking to bury it. He says, time was running short. He didn't have anything to bury it in, and boom, they passed the flower shop, and here he was able to get something to bury the tefillin in, and time was a vessel, so he bought it. So Rabbi Levine heard this, he said, you know, here you see how much you have to be done a person with kapschus. Yitzchok Zilberstein said over a maisa that the chazan in his shul, one Shabbos, people heard coins jingling in his pocket. Chazan. Shuls hasn't supposed to be up at Sabal Madrega. He has coins, carrying coins on Shabbos. He didn't believe it. But they told him it's a problem. He's carrying coins. We hear it, Kaseder, coins jingling in his pocket. So Reb Zilberstein listens in and he passes him by. And in fact, he hears when he moved his coins in his pocket. So he decided to ask him in the most delicate way possible, you know, is it possible that maybe you forgot your Shabbos pants at home and you're wearing your weekday pants because it sounds like you have coins in them. He says, no. He says, those coins, he received coins from Reb Itzikl, from Antwerp, Chassidus Sherebbe, who gave a bracha on the coins, and he uses it as a kameya and for shmira. And he designated it for shmira. Memela no longer has the same coin of Memela to keep on Shabbos. Now, who in his right mind would have thought of that? You know? So you see how much you have to be done a person with kapsachus. The Kotzker said, Amoyri de Gezach. The Kotzker said, the Gemara says that connected everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, which is Osir, he created something similar, which is Mutter. Dam, it's Osir to eat Dam. Connected that, he created liver, which tastes like blood, and it's Mutter to eat. He asked him eating chazer. Connected that, he was matter a certain fish which tastes like chazer. He says, up the Kotzker, it's also to have a crooked seichel. A person should not use a crooked seichel. So where did Hashem say it's mutter to use a crooked seichel when it comes to being done somebody with kapschus? You have to think of the most way out excuse, the most crooked way in order to be done for a person with kapschus. You hear a guy jingling coins in his pocket, you have to talk and think, well, maybe he got it as a kameya. Now, would that be the first thing that enters your mind? It's a kameya. But in being down a person with kapschus, there it's a mitzvah to use a krumah seichel. That's b'tzedek tishbayit esam yisrael. Parshas Kedoshim states, Kedoshim Tiyu, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You should be Kadosh, for I, Hashem, your God, is Kadosh. Chazal say about this, Kedoshim Tiyu, you should be Kadosh. Yochoil Kamoini, I would think you could be Kadosh like me. Talmud Leimer Ani Hashem Elokeichem. It says, Ani Hashem, it's only me. Kedushosi L'mayla Mekedushaschem. My Kedush is higher than yours, and you can't be Kadosh like me. Famous question that the Sfarim ask is there really a Havamina that we could be as Kadosh as Hashem? That you need the Pasuk to tell me, no, you can't be as Kadosh as me. What's the Havamina we could be as Kadosh as Hashem? So we spoke about this in previous years. There are various Pshatim. But I just want to say over a Pshat that I just saw from the Satmar Rebbe, the Divrei Yoyel, Mayridik Pshat. What does it mean, Yachol Kamayni? In last week's parasha, it says about Hashem, Hashoichem Itam B'soichtam Asam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells with Klal Yisrael, even with their Tumah. Rashi says, Apal Pishen Tmei Yemei. Even though it was like, it says, Tamei, Apal Pikein, Hashem dwells with us. That's a special Kiddush of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's so holy that even if he dwells with us in Tumah, it doesn't affect this Kiddush. So Yachol Kamayni, I would think that if a Gid, he sanctifies himself, he's Mekadosh his Maisim, so maybe he doesn't have to worry about dwelling in a place of Tumah where the standards are not so high. And he doesn't have to be afraid of being affected. Talmud Leimer, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am the only one that's able to do that. Kedushosi L'mayla Mekedushastem. My Kedusha, if I dwell with Klal Yisrael in their Tmeim, I'm not going to be affected. But you, a human being, ultimately it's mazik you, it's a bad hashpah on you. Kedushosi L'mayla Mekedushastem. Don't try it. Don't bring yourself into an asayin. We are together with the Tumah. I want to finish off with a beautiful word that I saw in the Mayana Shel Torah. You should love your neighbor like yourself. I am Hashem. What is the I am Hashem doing over here? Love your neighbor like yourself. But why does Hashem air over here? Ani Hashem. Pashit, you could say, I am Hashem that understands what goes on in your heart. I know what you're thinking. Don't think that I don't know what goes on inside of you. I am Hashem. I know what you're thinking. That's the heart of the simple pshat. I saw a beautiful shot that my other Shel Torah brings down from the Sefer Kanfei Nesharim. The derech is that when two people are in the same business, in the same line, they're sort of like in competition with each other, and sometimes they're hoisting each other. This one's taking the business away from this one. This one's taking away the business from that one. They look at each other like with a chshat, and they don't have the greatest love for each other because there's a certain competitive spirit, and they're worried the other one's taking away his parnasa. For that, the Torah tells us, even if he's like you, he's in the same business, Aval Pikem, you have to have a half of him. Why? Ani Hashem, I'm the one that gives the parnasa. I have enough to give to both of you. It's not like I'm limited in what I can give you. You know? And it's not you that supplies the parnasa, it's me that supplies the parnasa. So go, even if he's like you, in the same business, he does the exact same thing as you. Love him? Because Ani Hashem, I am Hashem that supplies the parnasa. Have enough for both of you. I might have mentioned this Meiser already, because it's a Meiridike Meiser. Rav Shlomo Kohen was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish. He wrote the famous biography, the five-volume biography on the Chazon Ish, Pe'er Hador. So he was a big Talmud Chacham, but he didn't want to make his parnasa from Torah, so he opened up a print shop. This is what he printed, invitations, he printed other things. And after a number of years that he had this parnasa, which was very fine, and it supported him and his family, a fellow moves in on the opposite corner and opens up a print shop. So Shlomo's family was up in arms, you know, Masik Vul, it's overstepping his boundaries, he's taking away parnasa, and his friends were all up in arms. Shlomo's calm about it, he doesn't say a word. A short while after the fellow moves in, it's on an Erev Shabbos, after he closed his shop, he goes over to the new print shop, and he invites the fellow, you know, I'd like to discuss a few things with you. Can you come to my house on Mitzvah Shabbos?
The family heard about this. They said, oh, now Push is going to finally come to show. Threatened with the Torah. He's going to argue it out with him. Okay, Givaldi. Mitzvah Shabbos comes. The fellow knocks on the door. Shlomo welcomes him in, brings him into his private room. He locks the door, and the family listens into what's going on. He tells him, listen, I have to apologize that I didn't greet you earlier. I just know that you're new in the business, so I wanted to share with you some of the tricks of the trade. You know, what the customers like, what the customers don't like, and this way it'll be helpful to you. And for a full hour, he discusses with them all of the tricks of the trade. The family's going to sugar. After the fellow leaves, they tell their fellow, what are you doing? You're giving away our parnasa. Your mom is, why don't you just close down the shop? She opens up an Orchis Chaim Laharash, speaks about these in Yonim, brings down a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. And he says it calmly. The Mizainus of a person is designated from one Rosh Hashanah to the next. The Ein Odom Megeya, a person cannot touch his friend's parnasa even in a hair breath. So now Kodesh Baruch Hu says, my parnasa is not going to be affected by someone else. So I should sit here and worry. If it's designated, I should receive the parnasa, then another guy opening up a print shop is not going to hurt my parnasa. And if it's designated, I shouldn't have parnasa. So then that's the way it's designated. His opening up the print shop is not going to take away from me, accuser. And he said it with full faith, and mamish with the total calmness. That's the pshat in the pasuk. Even if the friend is like you, remember, I'm the one that provides the panosit. You have nothing to worry about. I'm with the Shabbos.